so much. Well done. And thank you all for being here today. Hey, we're in the middle of Christmas season. There's so many other things you could have done with your Sunday morning. You could have gone shopping. You could have slept in. You could have gone out to brunch, but you made a choice to be here, and we greatly appreciate that. Thank you for spending some of your week with us here at Hope Community Church. Well, last week we began this series that we're calling Advent Conspiracy. That's not a name I made up. It's a name that I stole. I borrowed it for the Christmas season. I'll give it back afterwards. But in this Advent Conspiracy series, we're talking about Christmas, and there's so many wonderful things associated with the Christmas season. There is, of course, the main event. Christmas is a celebration of Jesus, of his sacrifice, of his birth, and what he came to do to save us all from our sins. And so here we are to celebrate Jesus. And there's other fun things associated with the Christmas season. There's the decorating, there's the parties, there's the getting together with family. Christmas season. We spoke about one of them last week. It's the pressure of the Christmas season. Specifically, the pressure associated with shopping and buying stuff for the people that you love. We all have people we love, people we care about, right? And there is a real desire that so many of us have, so many of us struggle with this desire. We want to do right by the people that we love, right? We want to get them something good for Christmas. We want to wrap up something and have them open up that gift and say, wow, you really care about me. You really love me. You have one Christmas, yes? There's that pressure we feel to buy the perfect gift for our loved ones, and sometimes that pressure just turns into a sense of failure. I can't find the right thing for these people. What do I get to express my love, my fondness? And so too often, friends, I know I'm not the only one. Too often, we end up just buying junk, right? I can't find the right thing, but I want to give you something. So this thing will have to do. This cheap cologne, this soap, this candle, these socks. Not that I'm knocking socks. I enjoy a good pair of socks. I'm just going to give you something. It's more of an obligation at this point because I don't know what to get you, right? I don't know what to do. So here's something. I've wrapped it up. Yeah, pretend that you like it, and then you can donate it to the yard sale in a few months. You know what I mean? Something like that. And so we want to get rid of that pressure. We want to get rid of one of these negative aspects of the holiday season, and we can do that by redirecting our focus. And so instead of trying to like do right by the people in our lives that we're shopping for, let's instead switch our focus and let's focus on doing right by the birthday boy. Let's focus on doing right by Jesus. And so here's what I've introduced to you last week. This whole Advent conspiracy idea is to instead of buying something that's an obligation, something that's just kind of like junk for somebody in your life, instead redirect those funds. Redirect them in a direction that will actually do some good for somebody who is in need. This is what we call a win-win-win. What you're going to do, instead of buying that obligation, instead of buying that junk, you are going to keep your Christmas list, right? All the list of people that you love and you would want to buy stuff for, and you're going to think about those people and think about causes and charities that are close to their hearts, and then on Christmas morning, they get to open up, instead of a gift of junk that they don't want anyway, they get to open up a card that says, a donation has been made in your honor to the Human Fund, or whatever you're going to give to, okay? The Human Fund's not real. But to some kind of charity. A gift has been made in your honor to this charity. I know this means something to you, and so instead of buying you something that you didn't want anyway, you get a card. I did this in your name, in your honor. That's a win for the person who receives that, because they don't have the burden of trying to figure out what to do with the stuff that you gave them. Now they have, wow, you did this in my honor? Thank you for that. It's a win for them. It's a win for you because you don't have to have this pressure of trying to figure out where do I go shopping. I got to park at the mall and find this thing. And it's mostly a win for Jesus because Jesus wants us to take care of those who are in need. As I mentioned last week, if you're someone who's new or very, very new to Christianity, there's one thing you've probably figured out about Jesus is that he wants us to take care of those who are in need. He's kind of famous for that, guys, right? He wants us to take care of those who are in need. And so that's what we're doing. I threw this challenge out there to you last week to redirect those funds in a direction that will bring a smile to the face of Jesus on Christmas morning. That's what we want to do. We're going to focus on doing right by him as opposed to doing right by the other people in our lives. And I told you last week, and I got to restate this, okay? I can't guarantee you that it's going to be a win over here in this direction. Because that person might open that card on Christmas morning and they might feel disappointed, okay? But if they do, so be it. We're not trying to please that person anyway. It's not their birthday anyway. It's Jesus' birthday. So let's focus on doing right by him. Now, this is not the first time in our life together as a church that we have done the Advent conspiracy. We've done this a few times in the past, and I've encouraged people to redirect their shopping, redirect their spending. And so every year that we've done this in the past, I've received a little bit of, not criticism, but a little bit of pushback. People ask me some questions. People say, well, what about this? What about that? And so I want to use this opportunity this morning to address some of the pushback that I've received in years past. And one of the questions that I have received is, what about my kids, right? What about children? Am I supposed to give my kid a card that says, hey, I made a donation in your honor to this cause or that cause? Are you supposed to do that? And my answer is, well, that's really up to you as a parent. Depends how old the kids are. Depends on what you're trying to achieve with your children, right? But for the most part, this whole swapping idea of, no, I'm not going to buy something for you, instead I'm going to give to a charity, this is really what we're talking about for adults here, right? And when it comes to children, I'm not saying you're not allowed to buy toys and gifts for your children. You certainly can do that, right? But the great thing about kids, did you realize this, is that they don't have jobs, and they actually legitimately need stuff from the adults in their lives. How about that, right? And so Holly and I, we do this thing, and this is kind of a side note this morning, but we do this thing, and we learned this years and years ago. What is it? We get them four gifts. It's something they want, something they need, something to wear, something to read. How about that? It even rhymes. Something they want, something they need, something to wear, something to read, okay? And so we don't go overboard, but like, yeah, there's something you want. We throw that in the mix. We want kids to have fun, sure. And so when it comes to kids, you've got some options there, but we parents and we grandparents and aunts and uncles out there, we do want to be careful not to spoil the children in our lives, right? We don't want to spoil them. You know what spoil means? To make something rotten. We don't want to accidentally make our children rotten. So let's be aware of that, right? So that's one of the questions I get. What about the kids? Okay, you can get gifts for the kids if so desire, right? Also, but maybe you've got like a teenager. Maybe it's time to kind of transition and get them thinking, you know, about people who are genuinely in need. But that's up to you, parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. Here's the other bit of pushback I get. Well, hang on a second. I'm one of these people who likes shopping, right? I like going to the mall. I like buying stuff. Are you suggesting we're not allowed to do that? No, I'm not suggesting that at all. If you're one of those very strange people who like shopping, God bless you. If you're one of those people, you can still do that, but I just want to encourage you to, as you're shopping, to focus on purchasing items for people who are in need. I mentioned this just a few moments ago during the announcement time, that we've got this little mini tree, our ministry mini tree, yeah, you got it, set up there in the lobby area, and there are some tags on that tree where you can pick up that shirt or that coat or those socks or those items for somebody who is in need. So you can actually go to the mall and go shopping if you're somebody that likes to do that. You have options there, and you can take care of somebody who's in need. The other bit of pushback that I get when I talk about this Advent conspiracy thing is the fact that some of us, most of us, all right, maybe all of us, like opening gifts on Christmas morning, right? It's like, hang on a second, man. It's like, I'm not going to get Christmas gifts this year, because the pastor is telling the congregation not to give people gifts, and I'm just going to get a call. Like, I like stuff. I want stuff for Christmas, right? Yeah. And if we're actually going to be honest, it would probably be most of us to admit, yeah, I want to open up something. I want the stuff. I want a thing. So if that's you, okay, all right. That's all right. Let's think about this, you know. There are some people hearing these words right now who are legitimately in need. And when Christmas rolls around, you're thinking, well, this is an opportunity for me to receive something from family and friends that I could really use. And so let me just make this absolutely clear. If on your shopping list, if on your Christmas list is somebody who's actually in need, well, then don't give to a charity in their honor, right? Give them that thing that they need, right? Maybe it's a grocery store gift card, right? Maybe it's picking up their PICO bill. Maybe it's something in that direction. So if you're somebody who's legitimately in need, I'm not suggesting that people divert their giving and their generosity away from you. I'm not suggesting that at all. But if you're somebody that just likes the stuff and likes the things and likes, you know, to have something, like, okay, I've opened it up. And what do you do after you open it up? You display it under the tree for a week and look at my gifts. Oh, they look so beautiful there. If you're somebody that likes that, I get that. I get that. But I want to challenge you to maybe take on a different perspective, okay? To think a little differently about Christmas and to think a little differently about where the money is going, right? And the money that could have been spent on a gift for you that maybe you don't even need could have been moved into a different direction where it could have done some real good for somebody who is in need. One of the, I guess you could call it a tagline, right? One of the kind of like slogans for this whole Advent conspiracy idea is to give more, but to spend less. And that's what we want to do. We want to give more, be more giving, but to actually spend less money. Talk about a win-win, right? And what they mean when they say that, if you go on the Advent Conspiracy website and you see that little phrase, to give more but to spend less, what they mean by that is, here's what happens. Sometimes we actually end up, dollar-wise, spending more money on the non-essential items for the people that don't need them than it would have cost to buy an essential item for someone who actually needs it. Does that make sense, right? So you're actually giving more, but you're spending less. It's another win-win. And so this is what we want to challenge you to do and how we want you to challenge you to think about this Christmas season. Again, putting the focus on doing right by Jesus. Just for fun, this past week, I looked up some statistics that I'd like to share with you. And so here we are in the Christmas season, and I did a little search. I want to encourage you to do your own searching if you want to look up your stats on your own. But I was just wondering, has anybody come up with a total number of what it would cost to end world hunger? What would it cost? I mean, has anybody calculated what would it cost to end world hunger? And so it turns out someone has done some math on that very issue. The World Food Program USA has done some math, and they have calculated that it would cost, are you ready for this? It's a big number. That it would cost $40 billion to end world hunger by 2030. Okay, and so what they mean by that is it would cost that much money to put the appropriate systems in place to make sure everybody who is in need can have food, and that's sustainable. That's how much it would cost, all right? $40 billion. I don't see anybody getting out their checkbook, $40 billion. Billion with a B, okay? That's how much it would cost. That is a ridiculous amount of money, right? I cannot even fathom that number. It's so big. $40 billion. And that feels overwhelming. What am I going to do to end the world? I don't have $40 billion. I'll never have $40 billion. Are you kidding me? What am I going to do? I can't do anything about that. Or can I? I can pick up some mac and cheese. I can make a donation to the blessing bags. I could pick up some granola bars, I can buy some soup, I can make a smaller monetary donation, not in the billions, right? Maybe in the tens. There is things that we can do to tackle that number, $40 billion with a B dollars. So we've got $40 billion. And then just for fun, I was like, hey, I wonder if anybody's calculated this. Just for fun, I went and looked up how much money did Americans spend on Christmas last year, 2023. How much money did Americans spend on Christmas in 2023? Because I'm figuring, well, what if we got this big old number of $40 billion? What if, like, the American, just one country, what if we, instead of, like, buying stuff for Christmas, what if we, like, gave money to end world hunger? Could we chip away at all at that $40 billion? Could we chip away at that huge number? And so here's what I found out. Last year in America, just on retail, okay, just on shopping, not on buying the decorations, not on buying the Christmas tree, just on shopping, here's how much Americans spent last year retail shopping. $586.98 billion with a B. Billion with a B. Not only could we chip away at that $40 billion, the amount of money that Americans spent on retail shopping last year could have ended world hunger 14 times over. Merry Christmas, everybody. Now, just for fun, if you add in the other stuff that Americans spent money on during the Christmas season, like the tree and the decorations, the amount of money that Americans spent last year on Christmas total was $1.1 trillion. We could have solved world hunger 27 times over. How about that? Every year, 9 million people die of starvation. 9 million people die of starvation. I like to open gifts too. I like stuff under the tree. But if I got a card, and in that card you told me that you gave to someone who was hungry, who was legitimately in need, that would mean a lot to me. Wouldn't that mean a lot to you? I mean, aren't we willing to sacrifice? Okay, yeah, I would have loved a new sweater, right? I'm growing out of my old ones. I'd love a new sweater. I'd love that new thing, but I don't need it as much as somebody else needs a meal, right? And so I just want to challenge you to rethink your perspective on Christmas. Listen, nobody came into this space this morning. You're not here to feel guilty. Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm not here to make you feel guilty this morning, right? Sometimes that's what we Christians do. We hear numbers like this, we feel bad about it, and we walk away. Well, at least I feel bad about it. That's not the point. The point is to encourage you and to let you know you're not helpless in this issue. You can do something. What if all the Americans, just for 1 year, everybody in this country, what if 1 year we all said, you know what, we're not going to spend any money on Christmas. We'll still see each other. We'll still sing carols. We'll go to church. We'll celebrate Jesus. But we're spending no money this year. Instead, we're going to end world hunger. What if all the Americans did that? Boom, we'd solve the problem. I don't have the authority to force all the Americans to do that, do you? What if all the Christians... What if all of us who believe in Jesus Christ around the world, not just in America, but around the world, what if we all decided we're not spending any money on non-essentials? All we're going to do is give to those who are in need at Christmas. What if we decided to do that? What if we as one church, what if we made that our mission? Just one Christmas. I'm going to take whatever I would have spent on stuff that's not essential, and I'm going to give it to end world hunger, give it to somebody who's in need, give it to a charity, give it to a cause that I know Jesus would support. What if we did that? $40 billion is a lot of money, but we can chip away. We can help people who are in need. We are not helpless here, and we can use the Christmas season to do just that, to help those who are truly in need. Take a look at this very un-Christmassy passage that Joyce read for us, eh? It's a very important passage, not what you want to hear during the Christmas season, but it's very important. And what Jesus says here, goodness gracious, it's so weird. Listen to this. Then Jesus said to his host, I mean, he's enjoying a luncheon. He's enjoying a banquet. He's a guest in somebody's home, and he says to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, right, when you have an event, when you throw a party, he says, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, or your relatives. Jesus, I don't think you understand what a party is, right? Why am I throwing this luncheon? Why am I'm having this banquet for this purpose of seeing my friends, right? Jesus, don't you understand how this works? I'm having a party. I'm inviting people over that I want to see. That's why I'm having the luncheon in the first place. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or sisters or relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. So this passage is very similar to what we looked at last week, where Jesus challenges the religious people. Jesus challenges the people of God to rethink the way that they think about generosity. And so many people thought, well, you know, I'm very generous to the people that I love. I'm very generous to the people in my life. I'm very generous to my family. And Jesus says, well, good for you. You've gained nothing. Even the atheists love those who love them. Even the pagans love those who love them. Even the people who aren't Christians will give gifts to the people that they love during the holiday season. That's just how it works. You've benefited no one. You're back at zero. You give them something, they give you something. We're back at zero. You've gained nothing. Same concept here. You're going to throw a party. You're going to have people over. You're going to spend money on that party. And then those people, those very same people, will invite you over to a party at their house. And ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, zero. It all balances out. Now, let's not miss the point here, okay? Jesus is not saying, hey, you're not allowed to celebrate with family and friends. I mean, that's one of the highlights of the Christmas season. He's not saying you're not allowed to throw parties. And it's not about that. It's about rethinking where our money goes. Instead of spending money on people who don't need it, let's point those funds in the direction of those who are in need. That's what Jesus says. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Take care of the people who are actually in need. Verse 14, and you will be blessed, although they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. I think Christ has made this point absolutely clear for us. Our priority, you're allowed to hang out with friends, family, loved ones. Jesus doesn't say you're not allowed to hang out with people. Our priority when it comes to money and parting ways with our money should be taking care of those people who are legitimately in need. This is what we've been called to do, all right? I know we have some Christians in the room today. We Christians, we are supposed to celebrate Christmas differently. And so I don't want any of you leaving this space this morning feeling guilty, feeling sad about things. But what I want to do is to have everyone leaving this space feeling hopeful, optimistic, knowing that we can make a difference. You can make a difference. You can help somebody who is in need this very Christmas. In your bulletin, you have that insert. These are just some ideas, things that you can do. Things that you can do, gifts that you can purchase on behalf of other people. But the thing I want to highlight this morning is what we mentioned earlier today, is this Christmas ministry. I want to highlight this. I want to encourage you to do this, right? To help one of your near neighbors. And so instead of feeling overwhelmed by all the needs that exist in the world, here's what we're going to do. We're going to leave this space. We're going to pick up a tag on that tree. And we're going to say, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to buy a gift for somebody who's in need. I'm going to put a smile on the face of Jesus this Christmas. That's what we're going to focus on. When we do that, if enough of us Christians do that, if enough of us churches do that, we will continue to make more and more and more of a positive difference in this world. The problems of this world are big, but our God is bigger. So we will take care of those who are in need, and we will put a smile on the face of Jesus this Christmas. And friends, together, we're going to make this the best Christmas ever. Who's with me? Let's do it. And let's stand as we close our worship service in prayer. Jesus, this is your season. This is your time. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for the tremendous sacrifice you have made on our behalf. And we want to do right by you this Christmas, Jesus. And so speak to us, Holy Spirit. Show us where you would have us direct our funds, direct our energy. And let us use this season of celebration, let us use this to take care of our neighbors, our friends, and those who are truly in need. Father God, among all the blessings that you've given to us, you have given us this worship opportunity. And now this worship service is coming to its end. We pray that you would allow our worship of you to continue. Father God, let us worship you with our lives. Let us worship you by the way that we love and serve you, and by the way that we love and serve other people. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.